Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Willkommen zur 187. Funpod-Ausgabe, sagt Michael. Solar Cookers International, mit Sitz im kalifornischen Sacramento, ist die wohl bedeutendste Organisation innerhalb der Solarkocherwelt. Ich habe von SCI und zugleich das Wort Solarkocher zum ersten Mal 1992 gelesen und viele Jahre später meinen ersten Solarkocher nach Plänen gebaut, die ich auf deren Website gefunden hatte. Und im Januar 2016 habe ich in Faro auf der Consulfood mit Julie Green, die gegenwärtige Geschäftsführerin und Programmdirektorin von SCI, kennengelernt, die uns in den folgenden 22 Minuten einen guten Einblick in ihre Denk- und Arbeitsweise gibt.
My name is Julie Green, and after doing some interesting work for about 3 decades of my life, I realized that I was being drawn more and more to doing work in the environmental sector. And I found Solar Cookers International. I had long known about solar cooking and its potential to address some of the most pressing and urgent issues of our time, focusing on energy and poverty alleviation and making life better for women and retaining our forests. So many different things that solar cooking can help to achieve. Mm-hmm. And I am so privileged today to work with so many people all around the world who are designing these technologies that help people to capture solar energy, free sunlight for cooking, water pasteurization, and lots of other different things that people need to do every single day.
Mm-hmm. Fine. It sounded as if you have found Solar Cookers International and not the other way around. Is it true?
Yes, yes. I had been a volunteer off and on for a number of years, and the position came open, and I was there working, and I had some suggestions for the board about how we could make the organization more efficient, how to kind of move us forward in a new direction, and they liked my ideas and hired me.
Okay. Can you describe a little what your position is and what you have to do?
Yes. I'm the executive director, so I'm the chief executive officer of the organization. Mm-hmm. I make sure that the administrative tasks, the fundraising are done. But really importantly as well, I'm the program director, so I'm able to implement the board's strategic plan. Increasingly, Solar Cookers International has moved away from the last century model, the charity model, mm-hmm. of helping poor people. That's a different sort of attitude. The poor person is other.
Yeah.
They're not partners. It's a very different kind of social relationship. And that has changed a lot in the last quarter century since Solar Cookers International was founded. Mm-hmm. We recognize the incredible value that community partners bring to the table because they know the people in their communities best. Mm-hmm. They know the needs that people have. They know the culture. They know the language. They have so many skills that we need to draw from. So we found that working differently with partners as partners is a lot more effective way. Mm-hmm. To help people learn how to solar cook.
Okay, and how does this cooperation look? What happens?
That is a simple question with a very broad answer. There are many ways that it happens. It happens at a very personal and individual level. We've spent the last 2 days meeting in Faro, in Portugal, with people from many different countries. And people are sharing their projects, their dreams, their hopes, all the potentials for solar cooking, the successes and the failures. So we've had a chance to make one-on-one connections to truly and deeply understand one another's work. Mm-hmm. And then the excitement builds, because then we see ways that we can put those energies and talents together to create something that is better and more powerful than either of those ideas alone. Mm-hmm. So at a very individual level, it's partners working together on the technologies, on policies. And at a very different level, we work with individuals who are community members. So we also work with people in other countries and That's an exchange of ideas when they see and have decided that solar cooking is something that can help in their community and they want to be involved in making real change in their community. Sometimes they need to know more information about solar cooking, and Solar Cookers International has a quarter century of practice and experience that we've heard about from our partners as well as some that we have as our own organization. So it takes a lot of energy, not energy in the sense of energy, but a lot of personal energy and resources that to learn something new and to change the way that you do something. So it's important to let people know what's already been tried so they have a higher chance of success right from the beginning. We find that many people make the same mistakes at the beginning. So if we can let people know, other people have tried this and not been too successful, but the people who have tried this have experienced success right away and been much happier.
Mm-hmm.
So it saves people a lot of time, and people tend to embrace this new way to cook much more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a hub, in addition to working with individuals, Solar Cookers International works with organizations. So we have about 350 partner organizations on all continents, and they're all involved in some way in development work or humanitarian work or in renewable or sustainable energies, women's empowerment. But the whole goal is with this way to cook, people are energy independent. So every family has an improved economy. It means a different lifestyle, usually much more positive lifestyle changes, positive health changes. So that's another way that we work with organizations
mm-hmm.
and help connect them to one another.
Mm-hmm. I would like to get a clearer picture of who Solar Cookers International is in concrete, in detail. How many people are involved? What is your budget?
We have 5 full-time staff, mm-hmm. built up from 1 full-time staff
yes.
member in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 20 volunteers
yeah.
In our regional office
mm-hmm.
in Sacramento. We have the partners, about 350 organizations worldwide. We don't have offices in other countries, so
mm-hmm.
we work directly with partners in other countries.
Yeah.
So a lot of what our staff does is we provide tools and education and connections
mm-hmm.
so that someone in Tajikistan, for example, contacted our office and said that they were returning to Tajikistan. They had seen solar cookers. There were many reasons that, you know, all the trees were gone in their
mm-hmm.
village. They said, but I don't know where to get solar cookers in Tajikistan.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to connect them to some of our partners in Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
who were manufacturing solar cookers and using them in projects, so they had expertise as well. So that's something they may not have been able to find without our network worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of times when people are working independently and they're making the same progress over and over again. So we're really not progressing. It's a repetition of what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So we have educational opportunities so that people can learn what other people are doing and, again, kind of learn from others' mistakes rather
mm-hmm.
than making the same mistakes over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
We also try to connect people with policymakers through the United Nations, also sometimes through local decision makers. Sometimes a very small change in the way things are permitted locally make a huge difference to bring in solar cookers and make it easy for people to adopt them and learn how to use them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many members do you have?
Our partners or funders?
Kind of other memberships? Because I know there are applications and one can become a member in some way. Or
yes.
did I misunderstand it? No,
that is correct.
Yeah.
We have the Solar Cookers International Network.
Yeah.
And that's a very loosely structured organization. We provide a Facebook group for that group. And people can use that as a public forum to exchange ideas. A lot of it is about program design, exchanging recipes, the latest changes that they've made in designs.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the wiki. Anyone can post on that, so that's not membership-based. But last year, we began the Solar Cookers International Association,
mm-hmm.
and this is for people who work professionally in the field. Maybe they have research labs, they're professional policy people, manufacturers, people who tend to have a much deeper, prolonged involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are either working in the field or volunteering full-time in the field, so they bring a different level of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Solar Cookers International Association.
Mm-hmm.
It was really important to us to try to make our organization self-sustaining, so there's a modest fee to join. But we also think it's equally important that no one be excluded because they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very simple scholarship application, so the scholarship membership fee is waived.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really want to bring as many people to the table as possible.
Mm-hmm. And how many are there so far?
We started in June, and I think we have 80.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're on 4 of the 5 continents.
Yeah, okay. You said part of your work is to work on the program. How independent are you in this? Do you get a framework from the board within you can move, or are you completely free?
This is the model for nonprofits in the United States, that the direction and the mission are set by the board of directors,
mm-hmm.
usually with significant input from the executive director, because mm-hmm. I'm in the office every day and I'm
yeah.
in contact with our partners worldwide
yeah.
and I keep up with the research. So I'm usually able to inform them on trends and also see what Solar Cookers International can contribute that no one else is able to.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, many of our partners have really solid on-the-ground projects in one part of the world or another. But Solar Cookers International is really the only one working on behalf of all of them. We're fairly altruistic in that sense because we're working for the success of every single one of these partner organizations
mm-hmm.
to bring global awareness of
yeah.
solar cooking.
Yeah. What do you see for the future? How, in which direction does the program go?
Like many nonprofits, we're learning how to do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
And the power really comes from people's passion and commitment. So with a much smaller staff, we're able to talk to people to find out which piece they need from us. They may only need one small piece.
Mm-hmm.
And we can give that right away and
yeah.
help them be successful right away. So it takes time to get to know our partners, but having that personal connection really helps move things forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we're focusing more on education rather than staffing our organization to send someone far away to do training
mm-hmm.
and then leave. That's an expensive way to work,
mm-hmm.
and it's perhaps not an effective way to build local leadership, which
mm-hmm.
can take at least 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
If to really train someone thoroughly to take leadership with all the skills they need to build the capacity of a local organization,
mm-hmm.
that's very expensive.
Yeah.
And so it's much better to find local sources for that kind of training and then help them find ways to build their own capacity to
mm-hmm.
take ownership and leadership
mm-hmm.
for their local projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's less imposing,
mm-hmm.
Imposing a model
mm-hmm.
on a community, but responding to the needs of a community
yeah.
when they
yeah.
want solar cooking.
Okay. You also mentioned in the beginning that you cooperate with the United Nations.
We were fortunate in 1996 to be granted special consultative status at the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
There is a limited group, about 3,000
yeah.
Organizations worldwide that have that. So we have the opportunity to submit written and oral statements to the United Nations
mm-hmm.
During events during
is
the
there
year.
Already is a success story in this field?
The United Nations is a large body and it works on a nebulous time frame. The exciting thing about the United Nations work is the shared vision and aggressively claiming civil society space for people who ordinarily don't have a voice. And it's a space that really needs to be defended.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide, governments don't say, okay, here's a certain amount of power, take it, run with it, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly governments prefer to retain that kind of power and decision-making authority. Sometimes people are excluded from some of the most important decisions that will affect their everyday lives in a really important way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the civil space at the United Nations is so important. And
mm-hmm.
that's the space that we participate in.
Mm-hmm.
When we, for instance, go to the Commission on the Status of Women meetings in March in New York at the United Nations this year, we'll meet with 6,000 other NGOs from all over the world who are working towards bringing attention to the needs of people as really clearly articulated in those sustainable development goals.
Mm-hmm.
That were adopted just last year. So this is an opportunity for people who work with people to insist that they be treated with dignity and that they have an opportunity to have their very real and human needs met too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great platform for people who don't have a voice to have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You made a presentation here in Faro at this Consulfood conference. And my first impression was it was more your personal view, or could be, than the one of Solar Caucus International as an institution. How can you balance this?
Obviously, I wouldn't be working for this institution if I didn't believe in its values and its mission.
Yes.
The mission is Solar Cookers International, but I expressed it in a very personal way.
Yes.
It's why I value it.
Yeah.
But the mission is really Solar Cookers International.
Uh-huh.
I talked a lot about policy and how policy trumped design, as well as we need to really be thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
And perhaps we need to redefine the definition of modern energy. So
yeah.
those were the three yeah. points that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's consistent with what we're trying to accomplish at the United Nations, for example, with the
mm-hmm.
Paris Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
There was a general understanding that to meet our global climate goals, that we need to phase out of fossil fuel use,
mm-hmm.
which means we need to completely change the way we've been thinking. You know, we've used cheap oil and we have built infrastructure to deliver oil,
mm-hmm.
even though it's becoming less and less cheap
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
more and more difficult to extract.
Mm-hmm.
So renewable energies are really the way forward for humanity and for our planet.
Yes. Yes.
So I expressed it personally, but that's consistent with the goals of the organization. And of course, our focus is the solar thermal cooking to
yes.
help meet
yeah.
that,
mm-hmm.
that demand to phase out fossil fuels.
When you look into the future, how optimistic are you about the spreading of solar cooking?
About the spreading of solar cooking.
Or the growth, or the usage?
That's a very good question. I think there are a lot of pressures in modern life, in some cultures more than others. There's an emphasis on speed and efficiency. And many of those things take energy. And I think in cultures where energy has been very inexpensive and widely available, those are the cultures that have come to rely more on a fast culture and an efficient culture. I'm uncertain that we can maintain that rate of energy use for another generation or two.
Mm-hmm.
And people are resistant to change, especially if we're replacing fossil fuels with human energy. That means a complete change in lifestyle. Solar cooking is just one example of it.
Yes.
So it's not just about solar cooking. It's asking people, you know, what are you going to do today? Why? Why did you choose that activity? And what did it mean for you as a human being? I mean, these are pretty existential questions.
Yes.
But I think about these a lot. You know, if I wake up in the morning and decide I'm going to intentionally solar cook today, it's a spiritual statement.
Yes.
It's an economic statement. It's an empowerment statement. It's a solidarity statement. But I might talk about it like solar cooking is a fun thing to do, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an immediate satisfaction to it. It's fun. It's interesting. The food tastes good. But on another level, it's a life choice and statement that I'm choosing to make by solar cooking.
Are you optimistic about the number of solar cookers installed in the world, will it go exponentially or not?
I honestly anticipate that there will be a turning point. Even in the last 2 years, I've seen a change. And the change has been that rather than always imposing the technology on people, more and more people are now approaching us and requesting it. And I think that's the most important change of all.
Yes.
That it's a personal decision. Once someone has committed to something, they will do everything they can to make sure that it happens because they value it.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell them how wonderful it is, that's my value.
Yeah.
It's not their value.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone expresses that and has committed to learning how to use it, well, then they'll learn how to use it. So I am optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of social and economic pressures, a lot of challenges and a lot of stresses.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are beginning to make different choices. I feel optimistic about people who are reflecting on those choices and choosing to make changes. There are other people who really invest heavily in keeping things the way they are. I don't have so much optimism for solar cooking being adopted in that mm-hmm. in that section of the population.
Okay. Is there still anything you want to mention, what I did not ask for?
I see this as something very personal. Every day I think of another mother. I have children,
mm-hmm.
and being a mother is a really hard job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of a woman like me who is going to work really hard today, who's going to do the best job that she can to make sure that her kids get what they need. And then I imagine her having 3 or 4 hours less of time every day because she's going to go out and look for fuel to burn, just so she can cook her kids breakfast or lunch or dinner. That means that she's probably not going to have time to rest. She's probably not going to have time to seek to educate herself. She may not have access to it. Her children will probably be helping her with some of those chores, so they'll be kept from school, or they'll substitute hunting for wood with study time. So it means the next generation is also tied down to poverty. It's so expensive for households who live in the poorest areas of the world. They pay the highest price for energy. I live in an affluent part of the world. My energy budget is very small. But in some place where people earn less than $1.90 a day, they may pay up to 40% of that on energy. So anything that I can do in the work that I do that recognizes the value of that time and that income for another mom who's going to wake up and work really hard today to make life better for her kids, it's really motivating to me.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Thank you a lot.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen. Entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.